Welcome in. This is 300 Yards to Unknown. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Eric Patterson, E-Pat in the house. What's up, dude?
Not too much, Rick. Diving into the, we were just talking about it a little bit, diving into the NFT horses streets. It's a conversation probably for a rainy day, but quite the world. And maybe one day we'll be playing these games in a golf metaverse or something crazy in the future. But for now, just the ponies.
That's what we need. NFT golfers, and you enter them into tournaments and you see how good they are. That's there you go. Someone go create that.
That would be amazing. You can buy clubs, you can get like scarce clubs that are better. You get, you know, pay to train them, pay to get better. There's something out there that's like pretty much video games, but yeah, the horse racing is kind of fun. But that's just, I haven't been paying much to the Wells Fargo this afternoon, but seems like the wind's picking up and Quail Hall is showing its teeth a little bit, but kind of an interesting leaderboard.
Do you think that, okay, so as the moment we are recording this, so the cut line or the projected cut line has been in flux. It was even par earlier in the day. Plus one is where it's at now. It's about 50% chance it's going to get to plus two. Bryson finished earlier this morning, E-Pat, at two over. Do you think he's still there? Or did he hop the jet like, just forget it. I'm not even hanging around for this.
I would have thought plus one was kind of sweating it, but now plus two is. Bryson probably can afford to get that plane turned around in the middle of the air too if it starts going kind of in his direction. But if we want to touch on Bryson, did you see Hovland's comments about Quail Hollow?
He said it was a driving range course or something like
that. And then if it's a driving range course, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, it's a Bryson week. And then he was like one under at the time and I got a little nervous, but just didn't figure it out.
In Bryson's defense, it was really one hole. He played the easiest hole on the course, which was nearly a shot under par. He tripled it on Friday.
I peeked up. It was like, I didn't even see what shot he was going for, but he spun his ball back into the water, maybe 30 feet. Like I'm guessing that green is pretty severely sloped, but brutal shot. Just like to spin it that hard is right into
That was his second ball in the water. And it was, and he kind of got, listen, I'm no Bryson apologist or whatever, but he kind of got unlucky there too, because there was a lot of other shots that came in at like a similar speed that got caught, like Stuart Sinks got caught up on the fringe there. It didn't drop down. His just spun too much, a little too hard, didn't catch that stickiness and goes in.
I mean, I want Bryson to miss all the cuts until the US Open. I think that's where I want his game to be trending, and then we'll pounce on him back at Torrey Pines.
I love it.
I'll cheer for the chaos, and then hopefully he can come through with a defend his title.
The other thing that happened at Wyndham, at the Wells Fargo, I was thinking of Webb Simpson, so I was thinking of the Wyndham, is Webb withdrew after lock but before his tee time, which always triggers everybody, and I get it. It stinks. Should there be something done about it? I don't know. My whole argument was, okay, yeah, you could replace him with the guy that replaces him, or you could take the golfer who is, immediately priced below him or whatever. My whole argument is DraftKings and FanDuel don't have to develop anything new, because it's not worth it. It only happens like three times a year. It is not worth them going through a phase of development, changing the software to fix this. That's my only argument.
Yeah, no, it's what, maybe twice, I don't know, less than 10, maybe five, a handful of times a year. It is hard to justify all the effort that it would take to reprogram their entire app. And it sucks. It's the game we play. But I mean, you gave me the little shout out. I do think there should be a range report. If we notice Webb wasn't on the range Tuesday, Wednesday, like he might normally be, or he visited the physio tent or something. Just some sort of insight from the grounds to know what's going on. Maybe we'll see it. I don't think we will, but yeah, it's a tough break for the Web backers. And now that we're talking about this, did you see the Keith Mitchell story?
What was the Keith Mitchell story?
So you pointed out that Keith Mitchell lost like 8 strokes putting last week.
I remember that. Yep.
So it came out today that Keith Mitchell had a bent putter. He didn't know it was bent. So it was like, I think it was like 1 degree open. And so it changed the loft and lie of his angle of his putter to like 6 degrees open pretty much. Wow. So he said he couldn't figure out why he was missing these putts, but all day he was standing over the ball and he was just felt so uncomfortable. And like the putt was never reacting the way it was supposed to. And it turned out his putter was damaged. So kind of a crazy equipment story that almost pretty much impacted. Yeah. It changed a lot of things from a strokes game putting standpoint. Just one crazy bad round that was had nothing to do with him, but his equipment was broken.
That's much better than the alternative of him having the worst putting round and everything was in order. You know what I mean? I'm glad to hear this. This makes more sense.
And I think he's playing decent now, so it makes sense that he would have rebounded. And someone probably saw that and thought completely. I mean, it's Keith Mitchell. He might actually be prone to losing 8 strokes on the green, but to know that it was just so fluky. And like, how would we ever know that? It just came out today. It would have been nice to know maybe going into this week that it wasn't him completely losing his touch on the green. But I just found that pretty funny that he set a record and it was because of his equipment.
Yeah, because through 2 rounds now, he's gained a stroke and a half with the putter. So
there you go.
Things are good again.
He took the putter to the tour truck and got it fixed up, but that's crazy.
That's awesome stuff. But the big story, EPAT, I was going to say it was the PGL, but I guess it's not. It's the SGL, the Super Golf League, because it's back in the news, Eric. So now we had the PGL, which I guess was kind of a spinoff of the PGA Tour, and then the Super Golf or Super League Golf.
SLG. SLG. Think of like Slug.
Okay. Is a spinoff of the PGL, which is apparently Saudi backed. Money trying to lure all the best players in the world to whatever their mega tour looks like. That's what we're dealing with, two different things here.
I mean, if we had this conversation today, like when it first came out Tuesday, Wednesday, we would have thought the SGL, Super League Golf, is that, I don't even know.
SLG.
If the Super League was the same as the PGL. And apparently they're two different things now, which is nuts. And I think it changes the entire conversation around the Super League. Because the Super League is I don't know if you read the details, but the Super League is one of the worst ideas I've ever seen on paper, because they want to have like 10 to 12 events only in the Middle East, only in Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, which the money is only coming from Saudi Arabia as well, which is, I think that was one of the biggest issues, moral, dilemmas that people faced with the PGL, is that it had ties to the Saudi Arabia, whatever they want to call themselves. But I think that was what a lot of people got hung up on. And now that the PGL is no longer associated with the Saudis, I think we can have a much better kind of conversation about the entire topic.
This helps the PGL in a big way. Right. This is like them being like, look, we're way more legitimate than this crazy Super League over here. Don't worry about that. Like, don't take that Saudi blood money. Come over here, take our money. We'll play all over the place and we'll be like more, legitimate might be the word. Now, there's still conversations about if guys would actually play, what it would actually take. But I think the news of the Super League is good for the PGL.
Yeah, the Alan Shipnuck said he talked to a PGL investor and they pretty much dragged the Saudis through the mud, saying they stole our idea, which they clearly did. That's why we thought the PGL and the SLG were the same thing, because the idea was identical. Now, maybe the PGL doesn't have the same amount of money that they might have had before with the Saudi investors. So that's a conversation. But I do think the PGL sounds like they're still well equipped to try and lure these guys away from the PGA Tour. It's fascinating, because like Jay Monahan came out and said, you're going to lose your tour card. You're pretty much going to, he said you might get expelled from the PGA Tour, which is, that's kind of bananas. There's going to be some mad sponsors out there saying I can't have DJ or I can't have Brooks come to my event because they teed it up in another league. Like that's a tough balancing act. I don't know how that's going to go well with FedEx, with RBC, with all these companies.
The PGA is the tour is walking a tightrope, I believe, with not a lot of leverage in the situation, because you just nailed it, right? Like, okay, if Let's talk about it in terms of if it's the PGL. If Phil Mickelson, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau go to whatever they want, the PGL, the SLG, they go to some other tour, and the PGA Tour can no longer market them as members. Well, certainly, do you think that that's going to impact the purses because of all the sponsorship money? And will, maybe not FedEx, but will these title sponsors start allocating some of their funds to this new golf tour? They don't care, right? They're not loyal to the PGA Tour from a sponsorship standpoint, as long as eyeballs are being put on to their product. So the PGA Tour kind of loses that battle. It would almost be like the WWE and WCW. Like, you'd have like two separate, I don't want to call them entities, but two separate tours, like, battling for everybody's eyeballs.
So back to that, like, where the sponsors come in, Daniel Rappaport, I don't know if you saw his tweet about, so Dustin Johnson, clearly an RBC ambassador, has RBC on his left sleeve, the logo. And when he won this past year in Saudi Arabia, that logo wasn't on his shirt. So there's a picture of him holding the trophy, no visible RBC logo. Okay. So that, to me, like, the only sponsors would be scared off if it was associated to Saudi Arabia. I think that, and now that it's not, if the PGL comes out and says we have no Saudi Arabian ties, I think the tour is in a terrible spot, because sponsors are going to be completely fine with this other startup league. So the splitting of the SLG and the PGL is the worst thing I think that could happen for the PGA Tour. Because, right, you know, 3 days ago when it was the SLG, I was like, this is a brutal idea. It's, you know, it's pretty, it, there's a lot of things wrong with it, in my opinion, to just join forces with Saudi Arabian backed money. And now that it's not associated to it, I think there's some legs to it. I truly believe there's something there.
The other thing that the tour doesn't have leverage with is the major championships, or at least three of them. I mean, so, if you are a golfer, and we can talk about this, like, if you're Dustin Johnson, if you're Brooks Koepka, if you're whoever, and you're going to get paid $30 to $50 million to go on to another tour, and you're going to be able to play 18 times all around the world. I'm sure a lot of them will still be held in North America. They're going to be in Europe. They're going to be whatever, and still play three major championships. Why wouldn't you do this?
Exactly. No, if the PGA Tour has to rely so heavily on both the official world golf rankings and the major championships, because that's the incentive to play the PGA Tour, is to keep your world ranking up. It's to get, you know, FedEx Cup. It's maybe to get a win, so you get exemptions into the Masters. If the US Open came out and said, you know, we're completely fine with the PGL starting up, the PGA Tour loses a leg to stand on. If the OWGR comes out and says, we're going to reward points, if DJ, Brooks, Bryson are all playing in a tournament, just like the Hero World Challenge, even if it's like 18 guys, yeah, they still award official world golf ranking points. So if the OWGR recognizes any startup tour as, you know, a sanctioned event, we're going to give points because these guys are good. Then again, the PGA Tour loses another leg to stand on. So it's, They're in a tough spot, I think. And maybe this is just me getting overly excited about the fact that the Saudi Arabian people are now away from the PGL. Because I do think that was a roadblock for a lot of people. But yeah, if the majors are on board and the OWGR is going to give out points, then I could see this actually gaining traction.
Yeah, I think there is, you know, the sentiment about the PGA Tour playing defense, and that's what we're seeing, right? We're seeing the PIP money, we're seeing the bonuses. I mean, they have all these bonuses. It's the FedEx Cup at the Tour Championship. It's the, I always forget, Comcast Business Rewards, like that money. They're raising the Korn Ferry prize pools, which I think is great. They are trying to build pillars in defense of this, but I don't know. And maybe it's not like if the PGL started, the PGA Tour would cease to exist. It would just look different. There would be different guys or whatever. But like, I'm wondering what else we're going to see from the PGA Tour, because I think they should be treating it as a real threat. And if it's not the PGL and it's not the SLG, it'll be something else. There will always be something else. And I think the tour is starting to figure that out.
Yeah. And, you know, Fowler, we can laugh at him all we want because he's included in this group, but he came out and said, you know, the tour right now is the best place to be, but there's clearly people out there who think it could be better, or else these other tours wouldn't exist. And when you think about the $40 million PIP divided by 10 guys, that's nothing compared to what, you know, some of these rumored offers are from these other tours, where Phil might be able to fetch $100 million. DJ was like $50 million just to show up. And then they're playing for, this is the PGL. They also said, you know, $20 million purses. The winner gets $4 million and last place gets $250K
is like third place at the John Deere or whatever.
Exactly.
Like, that's a lot.
Even the WGCs at no cuts can't even support that. Like last place gets, I don't know, 50 grand 50. There. So
yeah.
250 for just, you could play left-handed and still do it. Like that's a lot of cash. And the PGA Tour is going to have to figure some way to get more cash, because even the PIP is kind of nothing to these guys. Like you win, DJ just won what, 15 million at the FedEx Cup.
He, yeah.
Like he gets like three of those or something to join this tour, just to join it.
The best defense that the PGA Tour has at the moment is named Rory McIlroy, because he has been very vocal about this being a cash grab, a money grab. If you want to go do that, go ahead. Rory seems to be at peace with his place in the game and trying to forge out history and legacy and things like that. Now, I wonder, Eric, like, how many other guys share that, right? How many, and they have to be the top guys that care about legacy, because quite frankly, if you're ranked 50 to 100, you probably don't care about legacy because you're not part of the conversation. You're not winning major championships. You might just want to go sell out for cash and play a 54 hole event, or whatever it is, 18 times a year. So Rory has always, to me, been very forward-thinking, and yeah, I think he is forward-thinking here, but I wonder how many share that same sentiment.
No, I would say not many. So there's like two things I kind of want to touch on here. Webb came out and said, Webb, did you see what Webb said? Webb was like, you know, if I'm a DJ, if I'm chasing these PGA Tour records, I wouldn't go over there. And then that gets me thinking like, well, Webb isn't chasing those types of records, so maybe he would go over there.
Yeah,
it was like, almost like he tried to like to say, you know, the best guys shouldn't go, and then he almost opened the door for himself to go over. And then, I mean, how I see Rory's comments, and this goes back to even last year when they came out, the number one quote that stuck with me is he didn't like where the money was coming from, and this goes back to where I was before. Like now that might have changed, maybe his stance would change. Like, say they only have to play 12 events on the PGL and they could still play some PGA Tour events. Like, I think they could coexist, and it would just be like, I don't know. I think Rory's defense was he didn't like where the money was coming from. And if that's changed, then what does he got to say now? I don't know how he would talk himself out of it.
The other thing is, even if you are going the legacy route, that comes back to the major championships, because if Rory goes to the PGL and can still play the Masters, he can still complete the career Grand Slam. He can still rack up claret jugs. He can still no one is asking at the end of the day when he gets into the Hall of Fame how many FedEx Cups he won, or like it's just not happening. It's major championships. So really, I don't know how they're going to do it, but the PGA Tour needs to shore up its relationships with the other entities, and I'm not sure the other entities need to do that.
Yeah, this goes back to the original thing, like, I mean, Rory's not going to be remembered, no offense to my Canadian Open, but he's not going to be remembered for how many Canadian Opens he won. He's going to be remembered for majors. And if he wins, you know, 10 times on the PGL, like, then it just pretty much, they're just professional wins. They're just go to his record, like we count kind of like a European Tour win, or, you know, Lee Westwood's European Tour wins, if you will. So it does come down to how the majors view this threat to the PGA Tour. And I don't know if that relationship is, I don't know. I don't know what the Masters and the PGA Tour, like, the Masters wants the best field. The US Open wants the best field. The Open Championship, they want the best field at their tournaments. So it doesn't really matter how they're getting there. It just, as long as the best players are there, that's really all that they care about.
The other argument that I've heard is well, the PGL is not going to be, you know, these courses are going to side with the PGA Tour. And it's like, why? For if the PGL called Quail Hollow and said, we want to host an event there in May or June or July, whenever we want, they're going to do it. They're going to accommodate that. They're going to take the money for it. You would just lose access to the TPC network of courses. So the PGL wouldn't play because they're mostly all PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So you'd lose Sawgrass, you'd lose Summerlin, you'd lose River Highlands, but like there's, that's also not even a defense. So there's really, unfortunately for the tour, not a lot in their corner.
They just need more money. I think that's all it's going to come down to is more cash. It comes back to the top players feel like they're underpaid. And that's, I think, I haven't done the math. I'm sure there's math out there comparing, you know, the top guys in the NBA versus the guys at the bottom of the NBA. And I'm sure that difference between what LeBron makes with Steph Curry makes compared to the, you know, the 10th guy on the roster, it's probably pretty substantial compared to what DJ makes with on-course earnings compared to, I don't know, 120, 125. I would guess they're not making nearly enough.
And of course, those earnings are not guaranteed. And in other sports, someone else is paying for your travel and all of your expenses. That's not happening here. So, okay. So the PGA Tour has the money to do this, right? I mean, they're $1 billion organization. They obviously have a huge charitable aspect to it. Now, they obviously want to continue that, but couldn't they, and not that they want to blow the whole thing up because it's all about tradition and it's all about whatever, they have the money to do something like this, right? Couldn't they guarantee payouts? Couldn't they raise prize purses? Or is that a slippery slope that they don't want to get into?
I mean, I don't know their financials, but there has been that talk about they spent like $40 million on a... Do you see that new headquarters they built in Ponte Vedra? Like that thing probably cost hundreds of millions of dollars. So they definitely have the money floating around somewhere. It's hard to say like where they can just go reach into their pockets and find it. But and what it's probably going to come down to is they're going to take more money for ads and that types of stuff. And it's going to slowly trickle down to the consumer. And we're going to be left watching just commercials.
They already have a official PDF opener sponsorship or whatever with Adobe, like everything sponsored.
Everything's sponsored.
Yeah, which is already sponsored now. They could charge more for PGA Tour Live. They could charge more for whatever, but I don't know. I think that they are eventually going to have to guarantee payouts for the bigger names, at least. I know the PIP is trying to do that, but it's not guaranteed. I think they're good. And it's why there are some guys who have roles, right? I mean, there are open financials for the PGA Tour. Zach Johnson gets paid like $1 million a year to be a player ambassador or whatever. Like they could add guys to the payroll.
I guess. Yeah. So Rory probably gets paid to be like the head of the pack.
He almost certainly does.
But it's just like added work. Like DJ just wants to show up with his clubs and make $30 million. So,
but it doesn't have to be work, right? Just put him on the payroll. He is the head. He is the VP of sandwiches. Like it doesn't matter what he is, right? It's just put him on the payroll. I don't actually expect him to do anything else. Call him a marketing liaison and pay him $3 million a year.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to like take more money away from the lesser tours, but they are going to increase the purses on the Korn Ferry Tour. I would say, and this is a take that Andy Johnson from the Fried Egg had. He said, like, I think the Champions Tour plays for like $55 million every year, which is nuts. Like, why are those guys playing for so much money? You could cut that in half. I mean, I don't think Ernie Els or any of those top guys are hurting for money on the Champions Tour. So there's another $25, $30 million you could steal from them. I think there's ways to do it. I was trying to look up Jay Monahan's salary because I do think he makes quite a bit of money for compared to the other commissioners, like relative to like the league's value. So maybe Jay should give up a couple extra million too.
I saw the tax filings were public and I saw these at one point. Okay. So he made in 2017, he made $3.9 million.
That's not bad.
He gave up his salary during COVID, but I saw the full tax stat, and you could see there were like names on the payroll that were, you know, ambassadors or whatever. That is like, wow, they're making that much money. It's like, it's a very interesting thing to look at and who they're paying, and they could just do that for the top players.
I mean, I wouldn't be against it. Even like appearance fees, like start dishing those out. Honestly, I think if that's the only way you can compete, then that's what you got to do. Like you can't, I don't think the PGA Tour can lose. You can't even have this threat that DJ and Brooks and Bryson might walk. So whatever these guys kind of want, they have all the leverage really.
I have the tax filing here. Go ahead. Sorry.
Do I have an issue with appearance fees?
No. I don't have an issue with anything. Do they for what? Okay, if you're a big name player, like, I mean, they use you in every single commercial. You are asked to do more work because you're on the press conference schedule every single week. You are doing more already. They should be compensated for that. This is a no-brainer. If you went to your job, like anyone would be clamoring for more money or guaranteed money. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And it's not like they don't try as hard because they got paid, you know, a couple hundred grand to show up. I don't think that's an issue at all either. Like they still want to win the tournament. So you're not taking away the competitiveness of the top guys. I don't, that would be like the only fear is like, oh, these guys just kick their feet up. But
Kevin Streelman. So this is from 2017. So Kevin Streelman was a player director. I don't know what that means. And I do not know what he does. 1.3 million. He got paid for that. So Kevin Streelman. Let's look up what were Streelman's 2017 earnings. Okay. Because the tour paid him 1.3.
I'm going to look these up.
Hold on. I have someone else on here. So Monahan made 3.9. We mentioned that. I thought I saw Zach Johnson on here somewhere as well. Okay. Jason Bone, player director, 117,000. So is he doing 8 times less than what Kevin Streelman did?
I think Bone's on like the USGA now, but what year did you say Streelman?
17.
Okay.
Davis so Love the Third, player director, 441,000.
What were Streelman's?
Streelman was made one. They paid him 1.3.
Like any more decimal points after that, or just strictly 1.3?
1.342. 1,342,000.
Because his on-course earnings that year were 1.313 million.
So he made more from the PGA Tour paying him to be player director than he made on the course.
Interesting. I didn't know these things that like they're paying. There's guaranteed money right there.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Can you control F to see what DJ was up to or no?
I don't think he's on here.
So DJ in theory should just be on there for like 10 million influencer.
So it's funny because they list out their independent contractors. So they list Dustin Johnson Enterprises Inc., which I guess DJ's LLC or whatever. And so they paid out 10.5 million to that.
That's probably in line with what he made. So
Justin Thomas LLC, 17.1, because he won. Did he win the FedEx Cup that year? 2017?
PGA, maybe he did.
Spieth Enterprises, 11.
Does anyone now that you're on the enterprises, you got to find like the best LLC name on there.
I only
if
see
all just like DJ and LLCs, like that would be boring. I want to see like a nickname or something cryptic.
I wish I could. So I can only see. I think I can only see like the big ones here. I don't think they list them all out, but. Oh no, maybe. Oh no, then here's all the okay. So here's all the charitable stuff. I'm now scrolling through like 93 pages of the PGA Tour's tax filing.
You don't need to go through it, but that is interesting that you know Streelman's getting paid side money to do whatever a player director is. Right. I think they could do it. Why not? DJ's pretty much and like those top guys who keep going back to DJ, but Bryson is pretty much the most marketable guy on tour, so he should get a cut for their marketing appearance fees or whatever.
If another tour would need to get started, would they need to start? So is it better to, I think you have to get the guys first and then start, or would you kind of start and be like, hey, it's a real thing. We're coming over here and then try to lure them. And how many guys and who would they need? Like if you got Phil and Fowler and that was all you got.
No,
that's not going to work, right?
Bryson, Brooks, DJ, I think is a good starting point. And I think I think Phil's in. I think Phil's already like on.
Phil's dying to go.
Phil might be on both. I love how Phil just came out hot yesterday too, right? When this is like this firestorm's happening and Phil's at the top of the leaderboard.
Price is going up, baby.
Yeah. Kyle Porter had a fantastic tweet about, I think it was like something about leverage, but I was just laughing because, yeah, Mickelson's smiling knowing he's getting paid even more. But I think you need, I don't know, three or four of the top 10, 15 guys. Definitely the most, some of the more recognizable ones.
If you got Bryson, Brooks, DJ, and then just Fowler, Mickelson, that would be compelling.
You could probably fill it out with like some European dudes who might be interested in it. Like even it sounds like Rose might be kind of on board. He seems even like a Sergio might be down to try this. So I think there's even that you show like the proof of concept is pretty much all you need. And then you do year two, you bring in the bigger guys, like, you know, bring in the JTs and whoever else might be down. But I think you do kind of need to show that it does work and there is a lot of money to be made. Even definitely, if they run like a huge deficit year one when like,
right,
you know, they're paying all these guys that might not be worth it. But
I think the veteran Europeans would make a lot of sense for this. Stenson, Rose, Oosthuizen, Westwood. Like, I think those guys would make a lot of sense. They don't, you know, the PGA, they don't play a lot of the PGA Tour anyway. You get like towards the end of your prime, influx of cash, and you can probably be more competitive. I don't know. I just think that would be really appealing for a lot of guys. And then you fill out, the teams or whatever. I think they want, I think the last I heard it was 12 four-man teams or whatever you want to call it. So call it 48 guys. You fill it out with the Billy Horschels and the, I don't know who else, the Ian Poulters and the Kevin Streelmans. I guess Streelman wouldn't do it because he's on the PGA Tour payroll. But like, you know what I mean? Like you fill it out with those guys and you could have yourself a pretty compelling organization.
Yeah, I think those guys, honestly, it would almost be back to like the PGA Tour. It's like only 10 guys on the PGL matter. The rest like are teammates. And like there's the team dynamic. I think that's very interesting too. So you would have like the captains or the owners and those guys would be the most important. And then you fill it out with whoever kind of wants to join. I'm interested to see where that goes now that, you know, there's a big hurdle that's no longer in the way. It's just, there are a lot of like, who's going to broadcast it? Who's going to talk about it? Who's going to, I don't know, like
piece of cake.
They'll figure that out. Rick Gaiman Productions will be down in Australia.
I'll be there. They would sell the streaming rights for a ton of money. They'd have plenty of options for that.
Nope. Yeah, I don't think Jim, like CBS and Faldo might not be able to jump ship, but no. You could get some upstart like Amazon streaming or whatever those other companies would be kind of on board. So yeah, I guess that's not as big of a detail as you might think, but I do think you need a handful of the top guys. But even if Mickelson goes over, I still think people would be interested in watching what the hell's going on.
Just Mickelson alone. Yeah.
Mickelson and his recruiting tour. He just goes around, just tries to rally up any gambling golf guys that he can find. They want to go make a quick buck.
He'd be like Nick Saban in your living room. Like you got to come to the PGA.
Oh yeah.
Like you got to do
it. He'd probably be so good at recruiting too. Like he's dangerous there in those meetings. He's probably chatting these guys. Like even Damon spent a lot of time with him. Yes. On the course. And he's probably, Damon might be all in.
He's worth the $100 million that the PGL would pay him to be like ambassador or president or whatever they want to call it.
His little show on Twitter the last few days has been pretty good. And it maybe not worth $100 million, but it's definitely worth something.
It certainly is.
I might be sold. Earlier this week, remember we were texting. I was like, I'm out. I have no interest in this. And now kind of reeled back in. World tour would be fun.
I imagine this is not the end of the conversation because we thought this whole thing was dead a month ago or whatever, and now it's
back.
I'm sure this is going to be, back and forth for a while. So we'll keep a close eye on it. But for now, EPAT, anything else before we get out of here you want to chat on?
What in the news world? I don't know really what else is going on. This storyline kind of dominated everything, and it's just been the golf. I don't know if you're diving into the Walker Cup, but they all got food poisoning, which is kind of funny.
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah. And do you know I think it's 2017 Walker Cup. Do you know that team?
Yeah, it's insane, right? It was like
your buddy Norman was on it.
Norman was on it. Yeah. It's like they're, I don't know how many combined wins they have now, but it's like an unbelievable squad. They always pop up. They always pop up that graphic of them like touch all holding on to the trophy or whatever. And it's like a who's who. Of.
Oh, that's the, that was the DJ year, right?
In 17.
No. Yeah. Okay. As long as we're not confusing, because the Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Horschel team was really good
too. Oh, maybe that's the picture I'm thinking of.
But the 2017 team is just like, if you think of a young guy on the PGA Tour right now, they were on that team. It's like Morikawa, Zalatoris, Scheffler.
Yes. Sorry. I was confusing the picture with, yeah, it was.
They both won.
But. Yeah. Zhang, Zalatoris, Braden Thornberry, Scotty Scheffler, Doc Redman, Colin Morikawa, Maverick McNealy, Stuart Hagestad, Doug Gim, Cam Champ, and Spider Miller was 67 years old and the non-playing captain.
Man, Stuart Hagestad, I don't know if we want to just, he's living the life. The guy's like the best mid-amateur player in the world, goes to play the Masters once in a while, plays in all these Walker Cups, has a financial job in Newmarket, but, or not Newmarket, New York, but knows he's like the best amateur out there. Just the unreal. I could play pro golf, but I'd rather not. Just what a life.
What a life. Who got food poisoning? The US team?
Both teams. Everyone's sick. There's been talks that they might have to postpone it, but kind of a funny, not funny, unfortunate, but also kind of funny.
Wow. All right. Well, we shall see. For now, that'll do it. Eric Patterson, you can find his work on The Score. You can subscribe to his Quick Nine. You can follow him on Twitter at EPATGolf. And you can follow me at Rick Rungood. This has been 300 Yards to Unknown, and we'll catch you next time.